The Money Show. Personal Finance.
Personal Finance brought to you by Money Smart Week, creating a Money Smart South Africa. Visit mswsa.co.za for more. Warren Ingram is our personal finance expert. Markets down 25% around the world, 35% on the JSE. Warren Ingram, what do we do?
First point is don't panic, please.
I'm not panicking. I've just lost my will to breathe.
Come on. So I think the thing about this this market drop is it follows patterns that we've seen before, but it's not exactly the same as what's happened in the past. And no market, I mean, I think it's past calling it a market drop. I suppose I should call it a crash now. It is a crash. And like all previous crashes, the reasons are different, but they do follow some kind of a pattern. And what we need to understand is, you know, once we get to the point of revulsion, which is probably where we are now, where investors lose some faith in shares just as a general asset class and believe they'll never recover, that's usually where the best bargains are found, and where a lot of people actually incur a permanent loss of capital, because what they do is they end up selling their shares at a level that just won't be found again. And I think that's the stage now. So I'm not saying it flippantly when I say to people, don't panic. I think this is really the time to just, you know, hold course, because, one thing about market crashes, they don't look the same necessarily. They're not started for the same reasons. But it's amazing that, for well more than 100 years now, markets recover from these crashes. And that's the thing to remember, is that certainly there'll be certain shares that will really suffer and may not survive, but as a whole, markets will, and investors who are patient make money. That's the key thing from a situation like this.
And so much of that anticipated recovery, because we anticipate it will happen because history and patterns do repeat themselves, does depend on just how long the shock to the system is. And what we've got is a supplier-side shock in the economy. What we've got is factories in China that closed down, that caused supply chains around the world to be disrupted. We're seeing panic buying of goods and services. We're seeing some countries, we were told by the Aspen PharmaCare chief executive last night, how India has stopped exporting certain components, chemical components for drugs. And so you get the sort of lockdown, this breakdown of trust, this breakdown of trade, this breakdown of sanity and logic. And if we have a short, sharp shock, in other words, if we manage to contain coronavirus, and right now, like all shocks, it doesn't feel like it'll be contained quickly, we've got a chance of recovering quite fast. The longer this drags on, the less likely we are to go out and generate economic activity, the less likely we're able to do that, the longer this blooming thing lasts and drags out.
True, and I think the comments here are, firstly, we must also distinguish between when we talk about the we and the recovery. You know, are we talking about a global economic system, or are we talking about South Africa? And I think it's an important point, not to play on semantics, but the global supply chain, has almost, bottlenecked and broken down in some points, and I guess that unlocks when, for example, the Chinese start by saying, okay, we've got this reasonably in hand, and we can start producing and manufacturing and exporting again, and as you say, countries like India that are maybe now in the lockdown phase start to unclog that side of the engine. But I think, as South Africans, we always have this kind of, it's all about us mentality. When the problems are here, that our problems are unique, and this is a, South African issue. And certainly it's not that. This is really very much a global issue. And as quickly as that pipeline will unlock globally, it should start to do the same here. And I think the mistake to make is to look at this and say, well, there are going to be some companies in South Africa that aren't going to survive this, and that all shares will end, and the market ends, et cetera. And it sounds dramatic, but that's really what people are saying when they say, well, I'm going to sell out of the stock market, because what they're saying is the big banks, the big retailers, the car manufacturers, the people that make, games and the online retailers, all of those are no longer going to be in business. Because if we're selling all our shares, that's what we're saying, is we can't foresee a place where we can make money as shareholders again from companies that generate profits and the like. So,
and that is a natural capitulation mindset. I mean, it is how people do feel, and it's hard to believe that things can recover. But that's where your history book is so bloomin' important.
Yeah, exactly, and you know, and the phrase, you know, this time it's different, is incredibly dangerous to markets, both on the upside and on the downside. You know, and I think in a situation like this, to me, I'm looking at this, and it's painful and uncomfortable. And you know, one of the things I'm saying to people is, I'll call you when it's time to panic. Let me panic now on my own, in my, you know, feel like the duck, you know, where I'm swimming and everything looks fine, but below water I'm padding like crazy. But when it's time to panic, I promise I'll tell you. And I don't think that that's the situation, because we really do need the whole system to collapse. We really do need, you know, the whole economic supply chain and the whole, the way the whole world works, to really stop before this becomes something that people are kind of speculating now. And when I say speculating, I'm not saying it on a social media or something. I'm saying it in terms of the way that they react around shares. You know,
And when you say that speculation, what the speculation is, the way bond markets behave, the way the dollar behaves, the way we're seeing positions in markets liquidated so that people can get hold of dollars so that they can hold on to the cash. And that sort of behavior is what you talk about when you're talking about speculation.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, because I think often it's difficult for investors to make concrete what seems to be such an electronic and, you know, almost ethereal thing. You know, the market. We talk about the market, and we talk about shares and bonds, et cetera, et cetera. And it's always important to bring it back to the fact that these are real businesses selling real stuff to real people day after day, and some of them have been doing it for decades and will be around, maybe in a slightly different form, etc. But it's important to note that, you know, when you're sitting there as an investor and you're, you know, you're listening to you and me talking about this stuff and saying, yeah, well, I'm just going to sell the market, or, you know, I'm going to sell my portfolio, or my unit trust, or my ETF, you've got to make it concrete. And the concrete thing is, you know, retailers will be around and they will be selling, and yes, they might be mixing their, you know, their retail from their shops and their online or whatever, but the point is there'll be businesses that will continue to do business. So making that decision just to sell is a form of speculation. You're speculating that this whole system just doesn't work anymore, and I think that's a heck of a speculation to make. That and I feel the parallels more and more with you know, how markets reacted to events after 9/11, you know, where a really big event happened, and it was definitely, you know, man-made in terms of the event, but the reaction to that was that the world system stopped for a while, and, you know, the travel planes got grounded everywhere in the world, and we basically just paused, and then the world was a bit different after that. You know, the way we travel is now different. You know, the security checks are different, and things like FICA came in. You know, we started to have to identify ourselves to banks and the like. You know, and suddenly things weren't just done on trust; they were done a bit more, you know, kind of with a bit more introspection and depth, I guess is probably the word I'm looking for. And I think that this will be the same. You know, the fact is we probably will do things a little bit differently in future, but that doesn't mean the whole stock market system just ends. It doesn't. And I think it's important to create that perspective now, because, you know, every day when we watch markets and we listen to commentary around, you know, that there's bloodbath and it's the end of the world, you know, that's just not the case. It's a speculative hype now, and understandable but not realistic.
Okay, let me test your bias. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Which has been the worst performing currency in the world? Give me an order. I'm going to give you four currencies. I've got a pen. I'm going to give you South Africa.
Okay.
I'm going to give you Australia.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the UK and Russia.
Yeah.
Out of those, which have been the worst performing currencies? In what order? So top to bottom, the worst performer to the least worst performer. So out of those,
what time frame?
Over the last week.
Over the last week?
Yeah.
And we're talking about against the US dollar.
Yeah.
So I think Oz would probably be the worst. Then I normally would have said UK, but I think you're always going to give me a trick question, so I'm going to say Russia, then the UK, and then South Africa would. So in other words, the Oz is the worst performer.
It's not. You're wrong, but you're not bad. You're not bad. Russia, the worst performer, down 11%. Australia, down nearly 11%. The UK, down 10% versus the dollar. And the Rand, down 6% versus the dollar. Because we naturally, and again, you knew it was a trick question because South Africa's got the upside.
You always want to catch me out.
Exactly. Well, I want to catch everybody out. But this is counterintuitive, isn't it? I mean, we kind of, you might think South Africa's the worst performer because our bias tells us that we're the worst. But it's actually Russia, Australia, the UK behaving like an emerging market currency this week, and the Rand. The Rand at down 6%. It's not nice, it's not comfortable, but it's fascinating to see just how dislocated things are. Now, do we behave differently if we're 25, 45, or 65 when it comes to the way in which we're managing our personal finances right now?
Yeah. So I think I'll just to talk to the retirees, because they might be the ones doing the most damage. So let's talk to them first. I think the very first comment is, and with as many exclamations as I can put on a radio voice, don't sell your investments, please. This is not the time for retired people to be cashing out their money and putting it in cash to wait for things to get better. So step one is stay in your investment portfolio. The reason to change your investment portfolio in a situation like this is because it was the wrong portfolio for you before the market crashed. In other words, if you were sitting with 100% of your investments in shares, that wasn't the right place to be if you were retired. If you had 100% in cash, also not the right place to be. Then you might need to do some changes. So I would say that's the very first thing, is just ride this out, because a balanced portfolio of investments will lose money, but it will also recover. So that's my very first comment. The actions that people can take who are retired, that where they can sort of exert some control over what really is a big uncontrollable situation. Firstly, I think try to limit your expenses. It's human nature, to worry, and then to try and do something about that. What I'd say is don't change your entire lifestyle. If you were in a decent financial position before this, then try and limit your expenses, but don't now suddenly live off dog food and rice or something like that, because you're worried that the world's never going to recover. It's not the situation. But what you can do is control the expenses, for example, that you can delay. So if you were looking at buying a replacement car or something like that, put it out for a year. There's no harm in doing that. Any of the major kind of just ad hoc expenses where it's not critical to your lifestyle or your safety or something like that, then just push it out for a little while, because the likelihood is you might get better bargains in the future anyway. But for now, rather draw down less from your assets when they're down than for those that you don't have to draw down, don't draw down. And I think just make sure every now and then, and when I say every now and then, probably every 6 months, not every day or every week or every month, just check the mix of your assets. So if you were supposed to have 2/3 in shares, just make sure that you every 6 months that you've got that sort of a balance. If the market's fallen dramatically and you're in a very static portfolio, in other words, you've created your own asset mix, it might mean that that's the time to take some cash, put it back into the stock market to keep your balance of shares. Very hard to do, but really important. So for retirees, I think that's my biggest sort of point now, is don't control what you can control, and selling shares is not what you can control, because you're just not going to participate in the recovery. But control your expenses, and then I think for people who are in the saving stage of life, truthfully, this is the for sale signs are out. We're being offered very high quality businesses across the world pretty much now at really low prices, and I think that's the time for people who can stop the ad hoc expenses themselves, and who maybe are saving a bit of money because they're forced to sit at home and not go out and not spending on petrol and the like. If you've got any kind of a gap in your budget, try and double down on your savings. Save as much as you possibly can, because you will push your financial independence age much earlier if you start to save a bit more now. Very difficult to do, I understand that, but I think this is where the bargains are, and this is where the rational investors are looking at this market and almost licking their lips to say, well, the bargains are back. We haven't found them for a long time, but they're here and we're going to buy. And that's the sort of attitude that I think a saver should have now. Don't rush in. Don't do big lump sums and kind of buy on your credit card expecting everything to double next week. I'm not saying that. take your time, be patient, but have the pressure to feel the pressure to buy now over time with patience, I think is a good one. And to me, over time means sort of 3 to 6 months, not all over 3 days. That's not the deal.
Warren Ingram, thank you very much. Warren Ingram is a director at Galileo Capital. He's a personal financial advisor. Critical lessons from Warren Ingram in a time of chaos and a time of uncertainty to retain a level of calm. And it's so much easier said than done. I promise you, I do understand this. But the sage of Hyde Park. Due to measures implemented to curtail the spread of COVID-19 virus in South Africa, Money Smart Week South Africa 2020 has been postponed until later this year. There's an awful lot of this going on. The interest in Money Smart Week SA 2020 by organizations and individuals interested in financial literacy has so surpassed expectations. Over 80 participants registered to host events or initiatives. The Financial Sector Conduct Authority, the FSCA, would like to thank all of those involved and really looks forward to continuing to create a Money Smart South Africa later on in 2020. In the meantime, be Money Smart yourself. Listen to people like Warren, sensible people. You think, oh, that's such a boring way to do things, but pay attention. Money Smart Week postponed, like everything else. Money Smart Week postponed till later on this year. More details coming up as and when it is safe to do so.